This is my least favorite part of being a ranger, Dalton. Late-night bear sightings.
Yeah, Midnight's built quite a reputation up here on the North Rim. She's the one who chewed the paw off one of her own cubs.
Okay, looks like we've got action. These must be the campers who called us. Grab the tranquilizer. Let's go.
Is anyone hurt?
No!
We were sound asleep in our tent when we heard our camper door getting ripped off the truck.
Did you have food in the truck?
He's back!
She's coming right toward us. Fire the tranquilizer!
Oh, I missed!
Don't scare her. She's running. Take another shot.
Great. We need to get on the radio and call headquarters. Now she's angry and she's headed right toward Crazy Jug Point.
Will anyone get hurt? Will the rangers catch the bear before she makes it to the people camping at Crazy Jug Point? To find out, join the adventure in Jonathan Park and the Midnight Prowler. Later the next morning, not too far away, a team rafts down the rapids of the Colorado River in the Grand Canyon.
We're becoming pretty good white water rafters, aren't we, Dad?
Absolutely, Jesse. Why, much better than yesterday.
Miles will be glad to hear that.
Yes, Dad, but let's not get overconfident.
Good reminder, Timmy.
According to my global positioning satellite, we're getting close.
That agrees with my reading, Jonathan.
Dad, you've been to Nautiloid Canyon before. Is this it?
Jonathan, remember, I can't tell you. I promised Miles that I'd let you find it by yourself.
Look, Major Rapids ahead!
Okay, everyone, let's work together as a team.
So there are others camping here at Crazy Jug Point as well.
Yes, there are more in our group. They're whitewater rafting down in the Grand Canyon right now.
Mr. Morgan, we're impressed with all of your equipment. But what exactly are you guys doing here?
Well, we're running a training camp for a response team.
Well, like we said, keep it safe. Last we knew, that bear was headed right in this direction. And she is one angry mama bear.
Okay, thank you, Rangers. I'll tell the others when they get back from the canyon.
Okay, guys, let's pull this thing on shore. There. You guys found it. This is the Nautiloid Canyon.
Great job, guys.
Well, looking at this map and the coordinates, I say we head this way.
All right, lead the way.
So, Dr. Park, what do these things look like?
The nautiloids? Well, the kind we're looking for are orthocone nautiloids. They're squid-like marine animals. Their shells are straight instead of coiled like a nautilus. And it's divided into as many as 15 to 20 chambers.
So how big are they?
Well, Jesse, we've found some of these animals that are up to 3 feet long or longer. I know this sounds silly, but I think the best way to describe their shells is like a long, slender ice cream cone.
Waffle or cake!
Actually, Jesse, their shells look like a brown sugar cone. And now, picture their squid-like head and tentacles sticking out over the top of the cone.
Oh, my goodness.
Dad, look at this rock. It's so orange.
Oh, you're right.
What layer is this?
Jonathan, this is called the Red Wall Limestone. It's a vast layer that stretches all the way from northern Arizona into Utah. And a 6-foot-thick section of the Red Wall Limestone is called the Whitmore Nautiloid Bed.
And that's where we find the fossils.
Yes. However, many evolutionists believe this layer was formed gradually over very long periods of time. But Jonathan, we're about to see convincing evidence, even to non-creation scientists, that this layer was deposited very rapidly.
Oh. The nautiloids?
Yes.
According to the GPS, this is it.
Oh, wow.
Hey, look. Is this them?
Oh, my goodness.
You've got it.
Wow. There are dozens of them.
Yes. They're completely entombed in the rock.
Thad, you're looking at their fossils, actually. Their soft parts are all gone, and their shells have been turned into minerals.
How interesting.
How does that happen, Dr. Park?
Well, look at this one right here. To be fossilized like this, it needs to be covered very quickly by mud and water. Okay. If the conditions are right, the surrounding materials will begin to replace the cells that make up the shell of the nautiloid, and you end up with a fossil like this.
How neat.
Whoa, and that's why these are such strong evidence that it was a catastrophic burial, instead of a slow and gradual process.
Yes. Now let's talk about the evolutionary scenario. Okay. They imagine this area was covered with an ancient sea. Some say it was formed gradually as broken pieces of shell creatures collected, creating the limy mud on the bottom. And that's how the red wall limestone supposedly formed.
So then how do they explain the nautiloids?
Well, they would have to say that as nautiloids died over the years, they would sink to the bottom and would be covered by limestone as it continued to collect. But just think, if those nautiloids died out gradually, they'd show evidence of deterioration long before they could fossilize.
That's true.
But Kendall, that's not what we see here.
That's right. To fossilize something this well, they had to be buried very quickly before they had a chance to deteriorate.
And there's dozens of them all around us. Just look.
Oh, I didn't even notice these ones.
And Jonathan, there are even some down close to the river where we landed. Altogether, they estimate there must be billions of these things.
Oh, my goodness.
They're all throughout this layer. There's something else about these fossils, though. Look at them and see if they have something in common.
Well, hey, I know. Many of these are pointing in the same direction.
Yes, Timmy. This is called a non-random distribution, and it suggests activity from water currents. As the nautiloids were washed into place, the waters would point many of them in the same direction.
That's what we see at many other nautiloid sites as well.
Yes, so it looks as if an underwater avalanche called a sediment gravity flow came through like an express train and smashed right into a giant school of nautiloids. It caused billions of these things to be deposited and then fossilized.
You know, and they've even found them buried in layers that stretch all the way to Las Vegas.
What?
Right. It's also interesting when we look at the size distribution of these animals. We found baby nautiloids and granddad nautiloids and everything in between.
So what does that mean, Dr. Park?
Well, it means that they weren't dying gradually from old age. They were all killed at the same time by the same event.
Now that's what I call a huge catastrophe.
Okay, well, we're running out of daylight, you guys.
All right, well, then let's just gather some data and excavate a few of these things to take back with us.
Martha, here we are in our first trimester of pregnancy, camping out in the wild with everyone else.
Always an adventure, eh, Angela?
Where'd you put the nautiloid fossils we excavated today, Kendall?
Jim, I put them in the pine box in Katie and Jesse's tent. You know, the one that we're keeping some of the electronic gadgets in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That seems pretty safe. Mm-hmm. The box is still wrapped in the gunny sack, right?
Sure is.
Does anyone want the last marshmallows, Grandpa?
No, thank you, Jonathan. What about you, Ryan?
Oh, no, thank you, sir.
There won't be any left for tomorrow night.
You guys really polished them off. Eddie, how many did you have?
Well, let's see.
Katie?
Yes?
Don't worry. I hid a bunch of the s'mores in the pine boxes in our tent. Perfect. They'll never find them there.
After that.
Okay, it's almost time to turn in for the night. But first, I want to do one more training session. Oh, hold on. Hello, Miles Morgan. Oh, hey, Henry. Yes, yes, of course they're all here. Let me put you on the speakerphone.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Miles tells me that you're all learning very fast. It's incredible that it was only a couple months ago that I suggested we assemble a creation response team. And now look, here we are training and seeing it fulfilled before our very eyes. My only regret is that I'm not there to experience it with you all.
Speaking of that, how is it going with Jamal?
It's been hard work. But now that he's safely in this country, it's been worth it all for Janine and me. We have just one more meeting tomorrow with the adoption agency, and then I was thinking of driving up there with Jamal. You're all he's talked about since your visit to Earth.
Yeah.
Okay, hopefully we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
All right, now I know it's getting late, so I'll be brief. Over the last several days, we've run obstacle courses, learned to work new technologies, talked response strategies, and I've even sent you on training missions, like the nautiloid excavation in the canyon. Well, now Jim, Kendall, and I would like to assign the roles that each of you will play on the creation response team. After seeing his work in Florida during the hurricane disaster, Jim will be serving as the team's media spokesperson. Jim?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll also continue to run the Brennan Museum of Creation, Hidden Cave, and Brennan Bluff Dinosaur Graveyard. Well, every team needs a great leader. I think it'll be no surprise to any of you that we've chosen Kendall to be our creation response team leader.
Oh, congratulations.
All right.
Thank you. And serving as our technology man and all-around gadgets guy, my dad, Benjamin Park.
Okay, our next role will be leadership of our junior team, Jonathan Park.
Way to go.
That's my boy.
And Eddie, because of your expertise in video games and all-around hacking, you'll be our computer expert.
Yes!
Good job. Thad, Now, because of your natural leadership abilities, you'll serve this team in logistics.
Logistics?
Yes. You'll be in charge of making any arrangements necessary to accomplish our operations. Now, Timmy, because of your logical mind, you'll serve as our troubleshooter.
Great!
And Mike, because of your ability to see quick solutions and your no-nonsense approach, we want you to be the team strategist.
All right!
Hey, Jesse and Katie, we want the two of you to work side by side in one of our most important capacities. Katie, you're going to do the important research. We'll provide the team with information to complete our tasks. And Jess, you're going to be the communication specialist. Your job will include getting information to all the team members.
Cool! We get to work together!
Mm-hmm. And now for the absolute most important roles in our team, Martha and Angela.
Of course.
Jim, I hope I get to keep being the mom and wife. The woman who ministers to my husband and my family and helps accomplish the mission God has given us.
Oh, hear, hear. But Mrs. Park, you have a degree in underwater archaeology. Wouldn't you rather be going on underwater digs and adventures? I mean, if you weren't going to have a baby.
You know, I can honestly say that being a mother to this family has been a much greater adventure than my underwater archaeology days. And yet, God has even used that for his glory.
Sure has.
Mom, I've got to admit, I've often wondered why you decided to stay home and homeschool us.
Well, Jesse, because I couldn't ever imagine any place I'd rather be than watching God mold you into the woman he wants you to be. I praise God every day that I've gotten to be the one to teach you and Ryan and soon this new little one. Many working moms would love that opportunity. And it hasn't exactly been a boring life, has it?
No way!
That's for sure. God has taken our families on many adventures. Mm-hmm.
And I think God has uniquely made us moms to desire to nurture and love our families.
You know, in Proverbs 31 it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." You know, Martha and Angela, thank you for the love that you've shown to your families.
Thank you, sweetheart. You're welcome, sweetheart.
Okay, Miles, that's it. Why don't we just close in prayer before we turn in for the night?
Sure. I think you know my position on prayer, but you're all welcome to.
All right, well, let's thank the Lord for the day, and then head into our tents.
Jesse, are you awake? Jesse!
Katie?
Did you hear that?
Katie, it's the middle of the night.
Well, there! Did you hear it?
It sounded like...
There it is again!
I think it's a... It's a man!
What's going on?
It's a man in our tent! But we're okay!
Everyone, stay in your tent!
Okay, just stay, stay calm!
Girls, get back from there!
I'm getting my gun.
There it is!
Mr. Morgan, help me grab the pots on the firing!
Careful!
Gotcha! Back up, back up!
Let's make some noise!
Yeah, come on!
Ah! 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 She's running away! You scared her!
But did you see that? She had a bag in her mouth.
Oh, no! That's where I hit some of the s'mores!
Jesse!
Oh,
and our nautiloid fossil!
And again, we thank you, dear Lord, for your hand of protection from the bear last night. Mm. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for praying. I'd like to conclude our morning devotion with our reading. Today, we're in Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, as it talks about the role of older women. Quote, "That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed."
Dad, I have a question.
Yes, Jess.
Is it ever okay for a girl, say like me, to like adventure?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. Think about the pioneer women who helped tame the West and the pilgrims who first came to this country.
That's right. They must have been very adventurous.
They were.
Jesse, honey, the Bible makes it clear that there are different roles for men and women. Men are to be the protectors, providers, and spiritual leaders of their homes. But God has also given us a very special role. We are the ones who organize our homes, we love and nurture our children, support our husbands in the purposes that God has given our family. And this world needs good, strong families.
Amen.
So being a keeper at home is more than just watching the kids and keeping the house clean?
Oh, absolutely, Katie. I think some people get the wrong idea about what the Bible says. They make it sound as if women are supposed to deny their personalities and their talents and stay home mopping floors all day. But Katie and Jesse, God has given us all talents, abilities, and dreams. And He wants us to use those to the maximum of our potential.
So it's not wrong for me to want to live an adventurous life for His glory?
No, not at all, Jesse. He made you this way. And someday, when you have your own family, God will call you to make them your first priority. But that's not when the adventure ends. As a matter of fact, I found out that that's when the adventure really begins.
Yeah, that's a relief.
Jesse, like your mother, I think that you'll find that fulfilling your role as the keeper of a family is more wonderful than you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, looks like I'm getting back just in time.
Yeah, well, we're just finishing up.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys ready for today's assignments?
Sure!
Kendall, we're going to have your team head out to Jeff Canyon.
All right! All right.
Yes. As for Benjamin's team, I have a very interesting assignment that I think will hone the skills that you've all learned.
Yes.
I want you to track down that bear and find our equipment Nautiloid fossils.
And get back our s'mores!
Okay, you've got 10 minutes to prepare, and then I'm sending out both teams.
Woo-hoo.
Well, Mr. Park, this is as far as I can trace the bear tracks.
None of us are trained in tracking.
Oh, we'll never get those s'mores back.
Or our equipment.
Wait a minute. That's it. What was in the gunny sack?
Well, there were the Nautiloids, some GPS units, halogen lights, and radio beacon.
Ah.
Eddie, you've got your laptop in your backpack?
Well, that's my job, isn't it?
Can you activate the radio beacon?
Yeah. Miles taught me how to use the software to track coordinates being transmitted by it.
We're going to find that bear.
So, Dad, what exactly are coral heads?
Yeah.
Well, Jonathan, a little animal called a polyp lives in the ocean. Mm. They have a little hole that takes in food and gets rid of waste. That hole is surrounded by tentacles. Around it grows a hard shell made from calcium carbonate. This is the animal we call coral.
Oh, and they make large coral reefs, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Coral reefs are formed by large numbers of these little animals that group themselves into colonies called coral heads.
I see.
In each of these colonies, there are hundreds and thousands of polyps in their shells that are all linked together by a connective tissue.
So why do we find them here, Dad?
Well, Jonathan, that's a great question. Obviously, this isn't where they're growing, because there isn't a coral reef forming here.
So that tells us that they were picked up and carried here from somewhere else.
Exactly. Ah. Mm-hmm. Now think about this. We find nautiloids here in Jeff Canyon as well. In water, you'd find the heavy coral heads along the bottom and nautiloids closer to the surface.
Oh, yeah.
Yet here, they're deposited together in the red wall limestone. It looks like fast-moving currents picked up both the nautiloids and the coral heads and buried them right here together.
That would fit very well with a worldwide flood like we read about in Genesis.
Yes, Jesse, I believe so. Well, what if we collect some data and then remove a few of these coral heads to put in our museum?
Sounds like a great idea.
That's good.
I'm receiving the signal really strong now, and according to my laptop, the signal is coming from about 50 more feet that way.
That would be up inside that cave.
Well, that'd make sense. I'll bet the bear uses this as a shelter.
So she carried our gunny sack all the way up here and then left?
Well, it appears so.
So let's go inside and get the stuff.
No. Mike, even though I don't see the bear, we don't know if she's coming just around the corner. Or if she might be coming back soon. I'll be the one to run inside and see if the sack's in there.
Grandpa, be careful!
What should we do?
Well, keep watch for the bear.
The rangers were telling Mr. Morgan about how she...
Look! Oh, how cute! They're little bear cubs.
Oh, look at this one. It's missing one of its paws.
Look, I hate to mention this, but if the cubs are here, doesn't that mean their mom's nearby?
Mike's right!
Grandpa! Grandpa, the bear's back!
He can't hear you from in there!
I'm gonna go get him.
Mike!
Mike, be careful!
I'm just gonna let him know. Mr. Park! Mr. Park!
Mike, what are you doing in here?
Mr. Park, the bear's coming. We need to leave it.
Okay, gang. I just got off the radio with Miles, and he said that Benjamin's team found our stuff, but they had a close scrape with the bear.
Oh, boy.
He wants us to finish up here, and then he's sending us out to take a turn at getting our nautiloids back from the bear's cave.
All right. Boy. That should be interesting.
Dr. Park, can I ask you a question before we go?
What's that, Thad?
Well, we talk about how the worldwide flood laid down the layers we find here, but people also say that the flood carved the Grand Canyon. How can the flood both deposit layers and cut through them at the same time?
Yeah.
Well, Thad, think about this, all right? When these layers were first deposited, they were very soft. If the canyon had been carved while they were still soft like that, the rock faces would have still been pliable as the waters swept materials away. It would have been like gravy running across mashed potatoes. The layers would have slid down as the water cut the material away. Now look at the abrupt edges on these exposed layers.
Okay.
They were hard enough that they stood up in a vertical face. It seems to indicate that there was a period of time between the flood and when the canyon was carved.
So, Dr. Park, if the flood didn't carve Grand Canyon, what did?
Well, Timmy, there's good evidence that there might have been several lake basins that formed as water collected behind natural dams. Some scientists estimate that these lakes held enough water to fill the current Lake Michigan. They believe that eventually those natural dams broke, releasing all of that water and carving the canyon very rapidly.
Interesting.
So I was right. It seems the flood couldn't be responsible for both laying down the layers and simultaneously carving the canyon.
Listen, Thad, many creation geologists do not believe that the canyon was cut during the flood.
Okay, I think we better get back to camp. And then we're off to get our stuff back from the bear.
All right.
There we go.
Dad, thanks for coming back to the bear's cave with us.
No problem.
We seem to be at kind of a standoff with Midnight.
We have to think of a way to outsmart this bear.
Jim, are you there?
Yes, Miles, we're here.
Henry Michaels and Jamal arrived in base camp about an hour ago. They should be there any second.
Oh, great.
Good.
Fantastic.
Good. Thanks. Hey, we'll give you a call when something happens on this end. How's that?
Sounds good. Over.
Oh, great.
So, Dad, what kind of gadgets do we have with us?
Well, I brought the tranquilizer gun because I thought it might come in handy. But I also brought along a whole trunk of gadgets. You want to see?
You've got flashlights, GPS units, glow sticks. Whoa, are these smoke bombs?
Hey, why don't we just lob a few of those inside the cave and just wait for her to leave?
I think that it might just work.
Hey, guys!
Hey, Henry! Oh, hey, Jamal! Henry. You made it!
Look at you!
I'm so glad to see all of you.
You too.
And I want to help with the creation response team. I'm very brave.
We found that out in Iraq.
So, the bear's still in there.
Yes, Bob, but we may have a way to smoke her out.
This is like the Israelites in a standoff with Goliath.
Jamal, what are you doing?
We needed David. I'm going to run right in and grab that sack before the bear even knows I'm there.
Wait, no! Jamal, come back!
He can't hear you!
Great! He's going to get torn into pieces. Grab a light. Let's go, Jim.
Got it.
Be careful. That bear's very temperamental.
Jamal!
Where are you, Jamal?
I'm over here. Look where I'm shining my light.
The gunny sack.
Okay, let's all stay where we are. I think I can reach it.
I'm just guessing, but I'll bet that was the bear.
She's right there.
Jamal, get behind me.
She's coming straight for us. We're trapped.
Okay, Jim, I'll attract her attention. And you and Jamal run.
But she'll maul you.
We don't have any other choice. Here we go. One, two.
What just happened?
I just nailed her with a tranquilizer gun.
Good job, son.
Be careful. It takes a while for it to take effect.
Jonathan, she's coming your way.
Oh, no, she's so fast. Look out. Here comes the bear. The bear's got my leg!
Ah!
Oh, wait, she's down!
What's going on?
Are you okay, son?
Yes, the tranquilizer took effect before she got to me.
Oh, praise the Lord.
That was a little too close.
Okay, let's get our gunny sack and call the Rangers. Now, as long as she's asleep, I'll bet they'll want to relocate her to a less populated area.
And then we're headed back to camp.
All right, let's go.
All right.
What a day.
Yeah.
What a week. How's your leg, Jonathan?
It's okay. It's just a scratch.
Why was Midnight so ferocious?
Well, I think the poor thing had been through a lot. Remember what the ranger was telling us?
About one of her cubs missing a paw?
Yes. The ranger said the little cub was trying to get into the dumpster when it got its paw caught. I guess the poor little thing struggled throughout the night to get loose. It would have died if it would have been there much longer. Finally, Midnight had to chew its baby's paw off so it could get free.
Ew, what a terrible story.
Yes, but if she hadn't chewed off the paw, the little cub would have died.
Oh, that's true.
Boy, that's a perfect picture of motherhood, isn't it?
In what way, Martha?
Well, as a mother, sometimes I need to make choices that may seem hard or even mean. But it's actually to save my children from even worse harm.
Oh, that's so true. It means sacrificing their short-term pleasure for their long-term safety.
Just like we were talking about earlier. It sure seems like motherhood is going to be a challenge.
It's an exciting adventure.
Well, speaking of that, you all did a wonderful job this week.
Good work to all of you. You have all officially graduated from Creation Response Team Camp.
I'm just glad to know I'm part of a team.
Me too.
Me three.
Yep, it's all for one, one for all.
You've been listening to Jonathan Park and the Midnight Prowler. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as the Creation Response Team goes on a test mission that takes them back to the time of the Apollo moon landings in Jonathan Park and Destination Moon.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.